Rihanna's new fashion line has landed in Paris. The Barbadian singer's joint venture with luxury goods powerhouse and Louis Vuitton owner LVMH to create a new brand called Fenty after the hitmaker's surname. It can use Rihanna's 70.5 million strong Instagram following to promote the e-commerce only project.
The smartphone you saw at Best Buy could soon cost you more. The consumer electronics retailer warned that any new tariffs from China would boost prices for consumers. It was referring to President Donald Trump's threat to slap tariffs on an additional $300 billion worth of Chinese imports. That would affect products Best Buy carries, such as phones and laptop computers.
I will shortly leave the job that it has been the honor of my life to hold. The second female prime minister, but certainly not the last. I do so with no ill will, but with enormous and enduring gratitude to have had the opportunity to serve the country I love.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's May 24th. It's 5:10 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell, another business day getting underway before a lot of us have a three-day weekend for Memorial Day. We have put together a really good broadcast for you today for our Friday edition. Our regulars are here. Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management. We'll bring in Paul momentarily. We'll talk about our portfolios in the economy. Also today, Brian Summers will be here, the aviation business editor over at skift.com. That's at about 5:38 this morning. We'll talk to Brian about summer air travel. You know, Memorial Day kicks off the official summer season, and we'll talk about what the passenger load will look like this summer and the chance for cheap fares as well. So all that's coming up. We'll get going first on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. The trading week winding down after a rough day yesterday on Wall Street. Stocks tumbled over trade fears, renewed trade fears at the close. The Dow Jones Industrial down nearly 286 points. The Nasdaq fell 122. The S&P close was about 34 points lower. This morning, we're gaining a little bit of that back. Dow futures up 147 points, and S&P and Nasdaq futures also up a little bit more than 0.5% this morning. Around the globe, we look first to Europe. You heard there in the opening montage, Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, calling it quits. The FTSE in London is higher by about 0.5% this morning. The DAX in Germany by nearly 0.75%. The same story in France. The CAC is up nearly 0.75% as well. And in Asia, markets are mixed. The Nikkei down for the day, nearly 0.25%, nearly 40 points. The Hang Seng off, up nearly a third, and the Shanghai up just a fraction. And oil in the United States is at $58.67 a barrel, which is up about 76 cents. We begin with a couple of stories. First, as we all get ready to do some traveling this summer, and perhaps even for Memorial Day, we are learning that gas prices are high as we move into the first weekend of the month. The AAA, the national average, according to the AAA, is $2.85 a gallon. That's a penny lower than last week and 4 cents below the average at the start of May. The nation's lowest gas prices are in the Southern Plains, the Southeast, and Missouri. Regular is averaging right around $2.50 a gallon in Missouri, Virginia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and some other states as well. But this is, we believe, going to be the peak for gas prices as we now switch to some of the summer models around the country, including here in the Chicago area. Amazon reportedly looking to digitally 3D scan people's bodies. It will net volunteers a $25 Amazon gift card. It's for a study about diversity in body shapes by Amazon Body Labs. Appointments have to be scheduled before June 30th at one of two locations in New York. It takes about 30 minutes. The results will be used for internal product research. Details of that research have not been released. And Apple is confirming three new iPhone models. The iPhone 11 and 11 Max are part of the A22 lineup. The A21 lineup is the new iPhone XR. The new model numbers were filed in a database, an official regulatory body of some of these phones. So we'll be hearing more about that as we move forward as well. Let's bring in Paul Nolte for our Friday conversation. Paul is a senior vice president, and Senior Portfolio Manager over at Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you.
We should probably talk about Theresa May. That was in the montage. Brexit has taken another toll.
Brexit's come back again. It has, and it's one of those that I think is going to continue to be with us for quite some time because, again, she's gone through three different iterations of trying to negotiate a deal with the European Union and so far has been unsuccessful with that, and nobody's come up with a better offer, if you will. So, having gone through different votes and not being successful, somebody else is going to have a shot at it here.
Yeah, I know we've been talking about this a lot. I'm curious now if you think her leaving is going to mean this is all going to fall apart and they're not going to leave the European Union after all.
When we take a look at how this is all unfolded, I mean, certainly when the vote went through, everybody was very surprised. And we knew the negotiations were going to be extremely difficult to extricate yourself from something that's been in place now for well over a decade, if not two. And so we're of the opinion that there may be a deal done, but it's going to be one of those that looks very similar to the way things look today. Some modifications around the edges, but not much else. It's going to be very difficult, I think, to completely negotiate their way out of the European Union.
We have our own problems here.
Yes, we do.
Where to begin? First of all, the stock market seems to be just listening to for every possible word and tweet from President Trump. And it's what we've seen this week is a reaction to the trade war and his comments back and forth.
Absolutely. And part of the reason why the futures are up this morning is because there's some discussion that he's maybe backing away from some of his strident comments about Huawei. The Chinese technology company that's kind of front and center with this. And we saw the beginning part of this week, and part of the reasons the markets have been really on their heels is that now we're talking not about trade with China and putting together a China deal, but we are now calling out specific companies and saying we're going to blacklist these companies for these reasons. And so it's gotten to be a little bit more personal, if you will, as opposed to countrywide. And I think that's really what has got the markets upset here, at least. And it's an indication that trade negotiations are not going well, and in many cases, not going at all. And so the hope was that they would get together at the G20 at the end of June and have some type of handshake agreement or something along those lines. And I think that's pretty well out the window at this point. So trade is certainly front and center because the domino effect is very large all over the place, not only from the consumer and higher goods and services, but also from companies in lower earnings that they're not going to be able to pass on directly to the consumer.
You know, the situation with Huawei, I thought was because there was a security concern with Huawei.
There absolutely is a security concern, and there is a security concern with the 10 companies that were highlighted early in the week. And this is really the core, in our thought, is it's really the core of whatever deal gets done. It's going to have to be technology-centric, because what happens is companies go over to China to sell more of their goods. They have to partner with a Chinese technology company and ultimately wind up turning over a lot of their technology, proprietary technology, to China, to the companies that then wind up taking it for their own and developing their own stuff. So that's that proprietary technology, the technology transfer, is really heart and center of whatever deal gets done here.
But in the case of Huawei, this was a company that wanted to do business in the United States, and didn't allow it for national security reasons. Do those national security reasons go away, or do we just say, okay, we've got a trade deal now, come on in?
No, I don't think they do go away. And again, I think in a very cynical fashion, is I think the administration certainly looking at the markets and the reaction of the markets. I'm of the belief that I think maybe he's got Fox or CNBC or Bloomberg on the TV and watches the market go down, so then he'll tweet something a little bit positive. But I think that said, When you take a look at the stuff with Huawei and the other companies, there is still a security concern, and that hasn't gone away. And it's a matter of how are we going to deal with that? How are we going to monitor that? And then how are we going to take a work with it going forward?
By the way, I said that about 9 months ago, and people said, no, he doesn't do that. There's no way he has that much forethought. I called that about 9 months ago watching the TV. Paul, I want to talk about some data points. We saw the PMI number, Purchasing Manager Index, and it's kind of weak. It's weak data.
It is. It's the lowest that we see in 3 years, 36 months. Both the service and the manufacturing data came in below expectations and at low number. It's still above 50, which indicates the economy is still growing. But again, we're seeing weakness in that data that indicates that maybe over the next couple months we see it below 50. The housing data that we got was not all that great. The earnings numbers that we got out of retailers, with the exception of Target and maybe one or two others that are specific to those companies, also not good. And the reason we take a look at those retailers is really get a gauge of what consumers are doing more so than what they're saying, because we did get a survey earlier in the week that consumers are pretty positive about the economics, the economy, conditions, et cetera. The survey data, again, it's soft data.
Right.
We're looking at the hard data. What are you doing? And consumers are pulling back here a little bit.
The new home sales down 7%, and the housing sector is one that I watch a lot, because it's, again, it kind of tells you what people are doing, even with low mortgage rates. Mortgage rates have not been this low for a while, and we're still not seeing homes go.
No, that's true. And part of the reason for that is housing prices have been running faster than wage growth, which means that, you know, if the housing prices are going up at 6% a year, your wages are growing up at 3% a year, that prices you out of more and more houses that are available for you in your price range. And that's what we're seeing. And we're starting to see housing prices slow down at least a little bit. So we would anticipate mortgage applications are up pretty significantly over the last couple weeks, couple months. So we may see a housing pickup here a later half of the year. But again, that's going to be dependent on continued wage growth for employees.
Yeah, we're in that point right now where people are buying out, looking and buying at homes with the nice weather, at least supposed nice weather, which is supposed to be
we
nice
We had
weather.
One nice day yesterday, and that'll be it for a while.
Let's talk a little bit about how our portfolios then are arranged because of all of what we've talked about today. Do we make any changes, or is there a new strategy that we may look at after Memorial Day?
Yeah, one of the things that we've talked about here, at least over the last couple of weeks, is that the first quarter was an excellent quarter, and probably worth taking some money off the table. You know, we had a good year, really, in the first quarter with the markets up more than double digits and still up significantly. We're not that far off the highs. But it makes sense to take a look at that as an opportunity to rebalance or take a little bit of money off the table. And we've put some of that into short to intermediate term treasuries. So yesterday is a perfect example. When the markets sell off like they did, investors run to the safety. And the safety is utilities, consumer staples, and treasuries and the U.S. dollar. So the U.S. dollar was very strong. And we're looking at that as a place that a safe haven, if you will. So we continue to take a little bit off the table. We're not super bearish here, but we're getting a little bit more concerned as we see more yellow flags flying about the economy. We're not calling for a recession. A slowing economy, yes. So we want to be a little bit more defensive. And certainly the technology stocks, which had been really on fire since Christmas, have come back significantly because they're really in the crosshairs of this trade war with Japan. They're now number two performers for the year. Real estate actually has picked that, is now the number one sector within the S&P 500.
All right, Paul, big holiday weekend plans, a cookout or something going on this
weekend? Well, it's going to be a cookout in another state, so we're heading out of town, and hopefully the storms today will allow us to get out and sneak out of town for the weekend.
Well, have a good long weekend, and we appreciate you being here today. How can people get a hold of you if they want to have a one-on-one with you?
Yeah, if they want to talk about their portfolios, 401ks, et cetera, email address is best at pnolte@kingsviewam.com, and we'll continue that conversation.
All right, Paul, thank you. Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago at kingsview.com as well. 5:30, this is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. The unofficial start of summer is here, and AAA is expecting nearly 43 million Americans will travel this Memorial Day weekend. According to AAA, more than 37.5 million people will travel by car this year, the most on record for the holiday, and 3.5% more than last year. More than 3 million people expected to travel by plane, a nearly 5% increase over last year, and second only to 2005. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming summer travel season this morning. Brian Summers is here from skiff.com. Brian is Senior Aviation Business Editor and joins us via Skype from Los Angeles. Brian, I want to talk a little bit about the summer season, because there's a new report that this is going to be another record year for travel, air travel, all summer long.
Yeah, Steve, we've talked about this before. Summer is just a huge time in both in the United States and Europe for air travel. You know, Thanksgiving is big, Christmas is big, but, you know, you're talking from June 1st through August 31st. Like, most days are like the Sunday after Thanksgiving, if you can believe it. The kids are out of school. People want to travel. Airlines for America, which is the trade group that represents most of the big U.S. airlines, set an average of 2.8 billion people are going to travel on every day between June 1st and August 31st. And of course, it'll be super big around the big holidays like July 4th and Labor Day. You know, I think this is just a testament to how safe air travel is. You know, folks, there are some folks that prefer to drive. They like to have the control over it. But at the end of the day, statistics have showed us for decades and decades that, you know, flying is so much safer than driving. You know, there's really nothing to be worried about, Steve. I fly all the time. Right now, I feel like I'm flying every 5 days, and it's a perfectly safe operation.
So the 2.8 million figure would be about a 3.5% over last summer. And it seems like every year we keep having another record year for travelers. How are the airlines handling it all?
You know, airlines are handling it okay. The big rub this summer is, you know, these airlines, three of them don't have the 737 MAX to fly. You know, airlines planned their schedule a year ago, and they thought that they were going to have a certain number of aircraft this summer. And lo and behold, something happened, and Southwest, United, and American all have quite a bit fewer aircraft than they expected. So they've been proactively canceling some flights. People, you know, if you go to AA.com and you put in your record locator, you may see, you know, American canceled that flight because they just don't think they're going to be able to run it in July. That's sort of the biggest issue that we're facing right now. Airlines have become overall more reliable over the last few years. United and Delta especially are running pretty impressive operations right now.
You know, and the next question, I think a lot of people are thinking, well, does this mean I will have higher fares this summer or lower fares this summer? What can you tell us about fares?
Oh, it's complicated, Steve. It's always complicated. Airlines for America, which is the trade group that put out this press release about the number of people flying this summer, say that, you know, inflation-adjusted airfares declined for a fourth consecutive year this year, and the average domestic fare is dropping to about $350. Of course, nobody actually pays the average fare, right? That's why it's the average. You know, some routes travelers are doing pretty well on. Generally, if Frontier or Spirit, the two discount carriers in the United States, they fly the route. United, American, Delta, Southwest, they're all going to drop their fares to match. When there's no competition, you know, a route like Chicago to Knoxville, Tennessee, or very little competition, you're going to pay more for your airfare. It's just all a function of supply and demand and competition.
Well, you know, Brian, you're the expert. That's why we have you on every Friday, and we appreciate it. As we get ready to kick off the summer travel season, what's like the number one or number two pieces of advice you could give travelers to make it not only less stressful, but to perhaps make it more cheaper for them to fly?
Well, here's something to lessen the stress a little bit. I'm always surprised at how few people download the app of the airline that they're flying. I mean, even if you're only flying once a year, download the app, use it while you are traveling, because something very interesting has happened recently, both on United and Delta. If either of those two airlines delays or cancels a flight, they're going to allow you to rebook yourself on the app. It is seamless. It is easy. You don't have to be an elite frequent flyer. The app will give you a note. It'll say your flight has been delayed 2 hours. You know, do you want to change your flight? It'll give you a list of options. You'll pick the option that you want, and you'll be on your way. You're not going to have to call the 800 number. You're not going to have to wait in line at O'Hare. I'm always kind of shocked in 2019 about how many people are still waiting in line. I mean, of course, this isn't perfect, right? In order to rebook yourself, the airline is still going to have to have a seat for you. And maybe around the July 4th weekend, you know, Delta, United, they're just not going to have any seats for you and you're going to be out of luck. But generally, Steve, the apps work so well for rebooking yourself. I'm amazed. It's been a giant advance. As far as getting deals when you travel, this really hasn't changed. You have to fly when other people don't want to fly. So Thursdays, Fridays, Sundays, those are bad days in the summer. Everybody wants to fly. Generally, you always have the best bet with cheap deals if you're going to fly Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday. It's just when fewer people want to fly.
Brian, you mentioned the 737 MAX earlier. It might be a good segue into that part of the conversation, a little bit more on that. We had a couple of different viewpoints from CEOs this past week, one from Ryanair and the other from United. The United CEO says there's going to have to be a little hand-holding when this 737 gets back into the air, with passengers maybe a little timid. Ryanair has just the opposite viewpoint.
Yeah, Ryanair has an interesting way of dealing with its customers. It's always had this basic idea that if the flights are cheap enough, people are going to come. They don't have to treat their passengers that well. They can undercut the competition. They can still make money, and the passengers will come back even if they had a bad experience. United is, of course, a different type of airline. It's a full-service airline. Oscar Munoz did say this week he thinks that there will be some need for hand-holding. That makes sense. You know, I've talked to people, I'm sure you've talked to people, who are just skittish about flying the 737 MAX, and I think it'll be a while until most people are willing to fly the airplane. You probably also saw, Steve, that Oscar Munoz at United said he'd be on the first flight, that he would trust it. I'm not going to be on the first flight, but I absolutely would be. It's not something that makes me nervous. I always tell people, and you know, I don't want to be flippant here, but you know, I take a lot of Ubers to the airport, and that is kind of more dangerous statistically than flying on an airplane.
Yeah, very good point. And as we mark the 40th anniversary this weekend of the American 191 crash at O'Hare, we're reminded of that a lot. I know that's going to be on the minds of a lot of people as they fly out from Chicago this weekend.
I wanted to mention one thing, Steve, though. I grew up in Chicago in the 1980s. And, you know, when we talk about travelers having short memories, when I was flying the DC-10 in the late 80s and the 90s on United from Chicago, I hadn't known what happened in 1979. I certainly wasn't worried about it. And I just think as time passes, people kind of forget what happened in the future. And I suspect that in a decade or so, folks will be flying on the 737 MAX and not really remember what happened, as long as it's safe from here on out.
All right, Brian, great conversation. Thank you as always.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers, Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. Make sure you follow at Skift on Twitter and at Brian Summers.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market, yes, futures pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Down NASDAQ S&P futures up all more than 0.5% this morning, heading to the opening bell. Let's bring in Orion Samuelson this morning for a conversation about agriculture and commodities. Orion, good morning.
Well, good morning to you, too. And I wish I could say that we're going to have an active planting weekend, but showers are falling across the Midwest. And so it looks like another delay for a lot of people who still haven't put any corn seed or soybean seed in the ground. These showers, happen every day or two, and that's not enough drying time in between to really allow work to be done. I drove north in McHenry County last night up to Harvard, Illinois, had dinner at the Heritage House, one of the great longtime family restaurants with the Banwolves, who are working on June Dairy Month and who are working on Harvard Milk Days, because coming up the 1st of June, it'll be Harvard Milk Days, 78th year that they have saluted the dairy industry in McHenry County. So we were there last night. But during the night, rain has been falling again. I've picked up about a fifth of an inch in my rain gauge here in Huntley.
Yeah, and Orion, as we speak now, lightning and rain in back of me out the windows here in downtown Chicago.
I can understand as I look at radar. It is moving again the grain market a little bit higher. Wheat is showing the strongest gains in this period of rain for the past two or three days, because there is concern that it's not only going to delay planting of spring wheat in the Dakotas, but it's also going to create quality problems for the winter wheat crop that is coming up. But July... July wheat is up 6.25 cents a bushel this morning. July corn is up 4 cents a bushel this morning. July soybeans trading up 3 cents a bushel. So at least the grain market is higher. And farmers are now trying to figure out just what the new aid program will be from the Trump administration, because they talked about it yesterday in the White House, and there will be, again, some financial help. And a lot of farmers are going to need it, Steve, because every day that we don't get planted, the yield per acre tends to drop a little bit. And again, we're not getting any solution to the war with China and between China and the United States. So we keep waiting and we keep hoping.
All right, Orion, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Orion Samuelson with us this morning. Make sure you listen to the morning show bright and early tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, May the 24th. Durable goods orders for April are due out. Analysts are forecasting a 2% decline in orders for big ticket items after March's 2.5% gain. Again, April durable goods are really the only big thing on the calendar today. Foot Locker earnings among some of the big companies reporting quarterly earnings. Just a few things that could move the markets on this Friday, May the 24th.